In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Oh yes, I'm glad to be with you to tell you the truth, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ is King, that Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. How we need to hear the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I want to tell you today that the Word became flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary and dwelt among us. Oh yes, he leapt down from heaven and was carried in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary and brought forth in Bethlehem. So today we're looking at the third chapter of St. Mark. Again, he entered the synagogue, and there's always someone in the synagogue who's sick. Once there was a demonic man, and now a man was there who had a withered hand. They, the Pharisees, watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath. But you see, isn't this interesting? If one of the animals fall into a pit on the Sabbath, they can take it out. That's not considered work. But this is a child that needs his hand to be healed. This is someone who needs his hand to be healed so that they might accuse him. Accuse him what? That breaking the Sabbath. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath?" It's lawful to do good on the Sabbath, I tell you. To save life or to kill? To save life. But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. With anger. Why? Because they are looking that Jesus would heal this man, and they would say he worked on the Sabbath. He was grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He was grieved because of the hardness of their heart. Please, Lord, give us a heart of flesh instead. Don't be grieved by the heart of stone that we have. Give us the heart of flesh instead. How we need the fleshy heart instead. He was grieved at the hardness of heart. And the man stretched out his hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. I'll never forget the same scripture long time ago at Holy Rosary was read, and there was someone there who had taken a stroke. And I said to him, "Raise your hand." And he did. He did. He started to shake, and he fell on the ground. I tell you, when he went for physical training, the guy who did the physical training said, "That's impossible that it happened." We saw it. The whole church saw it, that God did this to this man. Why? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you know that today? That Jesus, what he did then, does now through faith in Jesus Christ and in faith that he can and will heal the sick. Do you know that today? Most people don't know that today. Just a couple of weeks ago, the reading of the multiplication of fish and loaves, and a woman came to us and said, "Our pastor told us that," and I didn't even let her complete the sentence, "that there was a sharing of the fish and loaves." She said, "Yes." I said, "Well, the pastor doesn't have faith." Doesn't have faith. Jesus multiplied those fish and those loaves. He did. But you see, you've got to have faith to believe that Jesus Christ does today what he did when he walked the earth. And he does walk the earth through the Holy Spirit today. And his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately, there's that word again, conspired with the Herodians against Jesus, how to destroy him. They should be having a party. They should be having a party that they've seen a miraculous experience in a synagogue. They should be having a party, but no, he broke the Sabbath. I tell you, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. He did not break the Sabbath at all. Chapter 3, verse 7. Jesus departed with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him. Why does he have people following him? Because they're looking for a touch from Jesus. They need to be healed. They need to be delivered. They need that Jesus would do something for them. You know, it's like that today. You say that you're going to have a healing service and you fill the church because people need to be healed. They need to be blessed. They need to be touched by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's continue. Hearing all that he was doing, they came to him in great numbers from Judea and Jerusalem and Idumea beyond the Jordan, and the region around Tyre and Sidon. They all want a touch. They want a touch from the Master. I want a touch from the Master too. Oh yes, I need a touch from the Master. And he is the Lord. And he wants to touch us more than we want to be touched. I need a touch from the Lord. Do you? Well, tell him, Lord, I need a touch from you. Lord, I need a touch from you. He told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, so that they would not crush him. So he's going to preach from the boat. The boat becomes his pulpit. Why? Because the crowds were hemming in on him, and they just wanted to touch him. We remember the woman with the issue of blood. She touched Jesus with faith and was completely healed. She touched him with faith, and he said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "There's a crowd around you. How do we know who touched you?" "Someone touched me with faith." That was the woman with the issue of blood who was instantly healed. We need to touch Jesus with faith, that we believe he's going to do something when we touch him with faith. He is the Lord, and he loves us. For he had cured many, so that all who had diseases pressed upon him to touch him. Whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and shouted, "You are the Son of God." But Jesus doesn't want any PR from the demons. The children of God proclaim Jesus as the Son of God. Listen, the demon said, "You are the Son of God," but he sternly ordered them not to make him known. Verse 13, he went up a mountain. What do you think he's going to do up the mountain? He went up a mountain to pray for a specific reason. And he called to him those whom he desired. Do you know today that he desires you? Do you know today he wants to give you a heart of flesh? Do you know today that he desires you 100% because he loves you? You say, "But I haven't been following Jesus," or "I'm too old." I'll never forget going into a house where the lady was over 90, and I said, "Would you like Jesus to enter into your heart?" She said, "I'm too old for that. I never pray." I said, "You know what? You're just a kid before God, who is infinitely old but forever young." And she prayed, and Jesus came into her heart. I tell you, you're not too old. You're not too bad. You're not too evil. Jesus wants to give you a heart of flesh, and he wants to come into your heart today. Jesus went up the mountain and called to himself those whom he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed 12, listen to this, whom he also named apostles. Apostle means those sent, to be with him and to be sent out to proclaim the message and to have authority to cast out demons. So he appointed the 12. Always Simon Peter is number one. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. He gave the name to these two Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder. They were the ones that said, that didn't accept the word of God, should we call down lightning to destroy them? Jesus said, no, you have no idea what spirit you belong to. And Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew, the tax collector, and Thomas and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon, the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Isn't that awful? Whenever we read about Judas, it's always he betrayed him. Let us not betray Jesus. Let us not fall into that habit of saying, I don't know him. Let us not fall into that habit. What will people think about me? I don't care what people think about me. I want Jesus to think about me. I want Jesus to say, you know what? He's faithful, and he does what he calls others to do. He brings people to me. Hallelujah. Do you bring people to Jesus? Hallelujah. I want to bring you to Jesus today. He wants to give you a heart of flesh. He loves you, and he wants to touch you, and he wants to heal you. You say, but I've betrayed him so many times. It's time to receive mercy. Mercy has nothing to do with what I have or what I don't have. It comes from God, and there is an ocean of mercy. When I pray the Divine Chaplet, I pray to, as the ocean of mercy, just give me just enough to make me know that you're pouring out your mercy on my heart, on my heart. Verse 20, then he went home, and the crowd came together again, so that they could not even eat. They want to be touched. They're desperate. Are you desperate today? They're desperate. They need to be touched. The crowd comes, and they haven't even got time to eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him. The people were saying, he has gone out of his mind. Oh no, he was not out of his mind. He worked from the power of the Holy Spirit to heal the sick and to cast out demons. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebul, by the ruler of demons. He casts out demons. I tell you, imagine saying that about Jesus. He who casts out demons, he who heals the sick, he who preaches the word like no other person, he has Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. That's how he casts out demons. And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. He's just using reason. If a kingdom divided against itself, it will not be able to stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. But the end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Oh yes, that's why we say when we're casting out a demon, I bind you in the name of Jesus, and by the power of the blood, be out, come out of him in Jesus' name. then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for all their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness. Let me tell you, if you think you blasphemed against the Holy Spirit, you didn't. Blaspheme against the Holy Spirit means I don't accept forgiveness when I breathe my last breath. Do you accept the forgiveness of God, that on the cross he shed his blood for you? You have not sinned against the Holy Spirit. I thought I had many years ago, and someone said to me, if you think you have, you haven't. You accept his forgiveness, don't you? I said, yes. He said, that's what Jesus was talking about, accepting his forgiveness, even final forgiveness before you die. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin, for they had said he has an unclean spirit. He had no unclean spirit. He had the Spirit of God. Remember in the Jordan River, the Spirit of God came upon him. Remember in the Jordan River, the Father's voice, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers are outside asking for you. And he replied, who are my mother and who are my brothers? And looking at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Do you know you're a brother or a mother to Jesus? If you are one of the people who love him, you are brother and mother to Jesus. Oh, yes. This is what the scripture says. Yes. Our blessed mother was his physical mother, but also his spiritual mother as he grew up. Whoever says that I am, whoever is sitting in the crowd who loves me, is mother and sister and brother to me. Whoever does the will of God is my mother, my brother, and my sister. Do you do the will of God? The will of God is to believe. The will of God is to believe that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The will of God is this, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life within you. That's the will of God. The will of God is, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, you will produce much fruit. Remain in Jesus. Oh, yes, the will of God. Chapter 4. Again he began to teach beside the sea. Such a very large crowd gathered around him, and he got into the boat on the sea and sat there. Again, he uses the boat as a pulpit. Why? Because the people are crowding around him. They said before they crowded around him that they couldn't even eat. This is amazing. This is amazing. And he sat there while the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. He began to teach them many things in parables, and his teaching, he said to them, listen, a sower went out to sow, plant, and he sowed some seed. It fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly, and since it had no depth of soil, and when the sun rose, it was scorched because it did not have any root. It withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell into good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30 and 60 and 100-fold. Are you good soil? Have you asked forgiveness from the Lord? Have you gone to confession? if you have your good soil. And he plants his word in you. He plants his word in you because the seed is the word of God. The one who sows is Jesus Christ. He plants his word in you. Do you know that today? And he said, let anyone who has ears to hear listen. Chapter 4, verse 10. When he was alone, those who were around him, along with the 12, asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but to those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may indeed look, but not perceive, and may indeed listen, but not understand, and that they may not turn again and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. Oh, yes, I'm sowing the word today. He wants to give you a heart of flesh. He wants to tell you he desires you. I'm planting the word today. These are the ones in the path where the word is sown, and they hear, and Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And those that are the ones sown on rocky ground, when they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy. But they have no root and endure only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others that are sown among the thorns, these are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and lure of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. These are the ones sown on good soil. They hear the word, they accept the word, and they bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. I tell you, in Israel at that time, to bear fruit 30, 60, or 100-fold did not happen. But Jesus says, if it falls on good soil, the seed, the word, you will bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. This is amazing. As I said, in Israel, at the time of Jesus, this did not happen 30, 60, or 100-fold. Why? Because it was so rocky. The soil was so rocky, big rocks in the soil. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Are you surrendering to Jesus today? Are you saying, let it be done unto me according to your word? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. What have we learned today? That Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he continues to heal through the laying on of hands as we pray for people. What else have we learned today? There were multitudes that followed Jesus. They needed a touch from the Lord. And what did Jesus do? He went into a boat and preached. The pulpit was the boat because he was being crushed. Oh, yes, everybody wanted to touch him. What else have we learned? He called those whom he desired. That's you and me and the 12 apostles. He desired us. Do you know today you are desired by the Lord Jesus, and he wants to give you a heart of flesh, not of stone. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.